Remember these right here? Welcome to Eastlake, the old school label maker. Remember these? You'd grab one of these and you'd put it on your notebook or you'd put it on your desk or the person sitting next to you in school, you'd make a label and put it on them. And they're easy to use, these old school ones. You just turn it around like I can make a label for my wife. And so I just turn it here and I spell out her name, C, and then I go to L, and I go back to A and R. Better spell it right, huh? I, S, S, and E. And then you just clamp it down right here so you can cut it off and you have a nice label, kind of. It might come out of there someday. And then you got it like this and you have a label. Here it is right here. I'll show it to you. It has her name right there. And you put labels on things so you know what it is, where it goes, who wants it. This is a label maker. And maybe you work with somebody and at their workplace in their little cubicle or their desk or wherever, they got every single thing labeled, what it is and who it belongs to, because like someone like you or me grabs it and walks away from it, and at least they hope that we feel guilty that we've got their stuff. Or back in school, we all had one of those teachers that every single thing in their classroom was labeled. You know, this is Mrs. Johnson's eraser and it doesn't leave the room. Labels. They tell us, well, what is this? And, you know, who does it belong to? And where does it go? And the truth is we all have labels. I mean, my wife's name is Clarice, but her label could be mother, aunt, daughter, employee, lover of boots would be a kind of an expensive label that she has. But we all have labels. And in this series, labels is going to be about how God takes the negative labels in our lives and turns them into positive labels. And here's how it all begins. It's the big idea right in your notes. Jesus is the label maker. Jesus is the label maker. Where do labels come from is the first thing I want to look at. The question is, you know, where do labels come from? How do they arrive in our lives? And write in your notes, the past. And maybe you've made some choices in your past, or maybe someone made some choices that you didn't have any control over at all, and they put labels on you. You made some choices, and now there's a label on you, guilty, and liar, unfaithful, untrustworthy. You know, labels nobody wants. San Francisco 49er fan, football fan, those are labels that no one wants. And maybe something happened to you in your past and you didn't have any control over it. Somebody tricked you, manipulated you. And now you have a label in your life, damaged, hurt, unloved. You know, labels come from our past, and the problem is a past label still informs who I am today. It still tells me who I am, where I can go, who wants me, who doesn't want me, because that's what labels do. The second thing is labels come from people, words that get spoken into my life by a person. People use their words, and then I have a label on me because someone has said something to me. Oh, there's a non-churchgoer, and there's a churchgoer, and there's a divorced person, and, you know, labels. This guy was selling security systems door to door, and he's in this pretty nice neighborhood. He's coming down the sidewalk, and he starts to go up to this house, and there's this like grade school kid that's playing out on the patio right in the front. There's like a porch area, and he walks up, and he says to the little kid, "Hey, what's your name?" And the kid stops and looks at him and kind of snarls and goes, "Stupid!" And he's "Pardon me? Excuse me? What did you say?" He looks at him, he goes, "Stupid!" And he's trying to, you know, figure out, piece this thing together. And then all of a sudden he hears from inside the house, "How many times are I going to tell you not to talk to strangers, stupid?" And then he figured it out. Sort of came together that people can put labels on us. And maybe you've had that done to you. You know, it can be a coach, it can be a parent, it can be a friend, it can be the next door neighbor, it can be a sibling. Someone has caused you to question your intelligence. Someone called you dumb or stupid. And you still struggle with this label that someone said to you, "Am I smart enough?" And I just want to tell you this, that God made you and he doesn't make any junk. You're smart enough. You're intelligent enough. You're vibrant. In fact, there's a promise in the Bible that says when you begin to follow Jesus that he gives you the mind of Christ. And I guess if somebody were to catch me at work and say, "Hey, you could trade brains with anybody in all of history, who would you trade brains with?" I'd probably say Einstein or, you know, Abraham Lincoln or you know, Mother Teresa. But if I stop for just a moment, has anybody ever had a mind like Jesus? And the promise is when I follow him, he helps me think just like him. They're labels. Now the next one right in your notes is problems. And when the problems pile on, problems can become labels. And here's the problem when problems become labels: as long after the problem is gone, I still wear the label. The problem's long gone. I'm no longer living in the problem, but when the problem came into my life, it labeled me. Now the problem's gone and I'm still wearing a label. And remember, here's what labels do. They tell you who you are, where you can go, who wants you, who doesn't want you. And you can come out of a problem, even a problem that you solve, but you have a label. Now here's the last one, perception. And this kind of rounds up all three together. It's kind of like how we see things. You know, labels come for perception. It's how I interpret things in my life. It's when the label becomes the lens. Just jot a note in the corner of your notes. When the label becomes a lens, and even when I know in my brain, even when I'm so sure that no matter how it's labeled, when I know what's right, the label can still have so much power. Here's how it looks. You're sitting at your desk at work, and you have some paper you need to cut, and you look up, and there's what you know is a stapler, but it's labeled scissors. You're thinking, who did that? That's a stapler. You can't cut anything with that. But then you see the label, and you think, well, but it's labeled scissors, and I know what scissors do. So, no, don't do it. That is so stupid. You can't cut paper with a stapler. But there's the label. It says, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, what? Now I'm confused. But there's the label. The label says it. So you grab it, and you start to try to cut the paper with the stapler, and you try, and you try, and you try, and you try, and you try. You get more frustrated and more frustrated, and now you're angry and frustrated, and like, because this, it won't cut, and it won't cut, because even though the label says scissors, it's not. And do you know some people live their life, and they're mismarked? They're mislabeled. And they're frustrated, and they're angry. And maybe that happens to you. It's when you run into somebody, And just like a small thing happens and they just go off, and you're like, wow, why are they so angry? Maybe they're trying to live their life cutting things with a stapler. And they were frustrated before you ever saw them. They arrived at work angry because different things in their life have been mislabeled. Mislabeled. And when you see them and they're angry and they're upset and you're wondering, well, God, you know, or maybe you have been mislabeled. And you're frustrated and angry. It's just simply because the stapler will never cut paper, no matter how hard I try. Now let's look at another question. It's right here. Who has the right to label? And you know, the first one is the manufacturer. And what's in the back of your shirt right here? If you reach back into your shirt, what's back there? Right back there, there's a tag back there, and that tag is the label, and the only person that has a right to put a tag in your shirt is the manufacturer. They can put a tag back there, they can label something. The person that manufactures, sometimes we buy t-shirts and it has a huge like message on the front from the manufacturer, we made this shirt. And so if you have a tag back there, then it's okay because they're allowed to label their product. The second thing is the owner. Owners can label. So think about how odd this is. You invite me over to your house, knock, knock, knock on the door. I walk up, and I'm like, hey, what's up? And I come inside. And the first thing I do is I walk around with my label maker. And I walk around your house, and I go into the living room, and I'm like, lamp. And I whip off one of these things, and I put it on your lamp. And then I put one on your couch and on your picture, and you're like, what in the world? And then I go into your kitchen and I make a label for coffee pot and I put a label on your coffee pot. And then you see me going down the hallway and I go into the bathroom and I make a label for your toothbrush and your toothpaste. And you're thinking, what in the heck? And then I go into your bedroom and you're like, no, dude, no labels in the bedroom. But I go in there and I go in your closet and I make a label shoes and shirt. And you're thinking, what a crackpot. You know, and then I come down the hallway and I find your dog and I go over to your dog and I make a label for your dog, canine. And then I see your cat, I find your cat, and I make a label, Satan, for the cat. And even if that's right, I don't have the right to label your stuff, because it's not mine, I don't own it. And in this series, this is what I'd like to suggest, is that Jesus has the right to be the label maker. Because he made us, owns us, we belong to him, he wants us. And maybe you're mislabeled in some areas of your life, or this would be a great series for you to listen, because you work with somebody that's always frustrated and angry, and maybe you take too much responsibility for that, or you've begun to not like them or even hate them. And the truth is, really, here's what's the problem. They're trying to live their life under the wrong labels. Now, I want to look at part of the Bible today, and if you just grab that and we'll read it together. I'm going to read it to you. Even before he made the world, this is in the book of Ephesians, and it's in a city called Ephesus, which is in Turkey now. And, you know, it's like if somebody wrote a letter to all of Salt Lake City and they called it the Salt Lake Cityans. That's all this is right here. It's just a city where someone wrote a letter to him called Ephesians. Okay, so they lived in Ephesus, and so we're going to read it. And it was written by St. Paul, who knows a lot about labels. Maybe you heard of him. St. Paul lived a long, long time ago. And he was a really famous religious person in the Jewish church. He was way up high in the Jewish church. And his job was to run the goon squad. So St. Paul, what he did for the Jewish church is he ran the goon squad. They actually had people in the Jewish church that their whole job was to go and to try to scare people from following Jesus. Because after the resurrection, there was hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people that are following Jesus. And the Jewish church leaders are like, oh, I thought we stopped this when we killed him. But he didn't die. And so now all kinds of people are following Jesus. So now they have Paul, and he's in charge of the goon squad. And he cooked up all kinds of ways to try to scare people. He would go to their house and he'd have these trumped up charges against the husband, and he'd pull him away from his family and put him in prison. He had people executed because they followed Jesus. He'd take all their property from them. He would try to make them say things that they weren't followers of Jesus. He would try to make them confess in front of their friends. And that was Paul's job. And then one day, St. Paul has this incredible encounter with Jesus, and he realizes, I am so full of religion, but I don't have anything with God. And maybe you know someone like that. They have tons of religion. I don't have anything with God. And Paul realizes that, and so he starts to follow Jesus, and he wants to join all the early Christ followers and be a part of the church. Well, you can imagine when he hits church for the first time and the greeters see him rolling up, they're like, hey. He says, no, I'm following Jesus too now. And they're like, you're just a spy. You just came to hurt us. And because he has a lot of labels. And he was a part of this church in Ephesus, and he's writing them a letter. This is just a letter in the Bible. And he's writing them a letter. He's saying, don't forget the labels that God put on you. You have all kinds of different labels, and I understand that because I have my share too. But don't forget the labels that God put on you. And so let's read it together. Even before he made the world, so even before you were born, even before your parents had you as a little baby, even before you made the mistake you thought you'd never make, even before you said the thing that you thought you'd never say, even before you crossed over the line that you said, I'll never cross over that line, and you did, even before all that stuff, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. That is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace, circle that, he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. Even before any of it all happened, and right, the very first thing, here's the first label on the back. The labels Jesus gives us is, I am loved. There's the label, I am loved. Even before any things that I did right or wrong, God loved me, which is important to know. This last week, I got off on the worst start on Monday. And I really had sort of a roller coaster week. I don't know if you ever had one of those, but it's like up, down, you're sort of good, you're sort of bad. And after church Sunday, I went home and everything was fine. And then I sort of got myself in a tight situation and I stepped over the line, which I had to admit, God, this wasn't right. This was a sin. I never should have done this. And so I woke up Monday morning and I just felt like crap. Because why did I do that again? I know I'm not supposed to do that. And I hate to start my day sort of on the backside of a sin, even though I've asked God to forgive me. I go to work, and I'm not expecting him to do anything great for me. I'm just, please, just somehow get through this day. And I just felt crappy. And Mondays are the worst day to feel crappy. Because you're like, whoa, I'm just starting the week here. And about halfway through the morning, everything started to sort of turn my way. And I'm expecting nothing from God. I'm not expecting anything to go right. And everything just starts to kind of go my way. And everything starts lining up just perfectly. And all the things that I do at my job are just sort of lining up in a way that it's really easy for me that day. And by the time the afternoon comes, I'm like, wow, I'm having like a really super, super great day. But I expected a really bad day because I had not earned a good day. And most of us, we believe we have to earn being loved. We have to be lovable. We grow up that way, especially girls. I have to look really, 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 really pretty so I'm lovable. And guys have to be really successful and really athletic, and they have to be really super smart, and they have to get a job before everybody else, and they have to get a house, and they have to have the right car, and I mean everything. And really all it is we're just all saying, if I do all this stuff, will somebody love me? And so here I'm going into my day, and I said, I've done just the opposite of all the things I did. And then all of a sudden, it was such a great day for me because God reminded me that his love is not based on my performance. Even before, he saw Monday coming at me, and he'd already decided, I'm still going to love you. I'm going to help you today. It was humbling to go home at the end of that day and go, man, I didn't deserve any of this. And God says to me and to you, I don't love you because you deserve it. Love isn't something that you earn. It's something that you receive. Can you receive that label? I am loved. What would it do for your life if you just, in the middle of it right now, amongst all your stuff, all your crap, you just realized, wow, I feel like someone loves me. Then the second thing, write down, I have been chosen. And the idea of being chosen, I don't know, you never maybe went through this, but in grade school, I mean, you're on the playground and they're picking teams, and what's the worst thing that can possibly happen when they're choosing teams is you get picked last. Yeah, everybody hates that. So I wanted to tell you today, you're God's first round draft pick. Jesus didn't get stuck with you. He chose you. And he chose you with a purpose. It says that he chose you to be holy and faultless in his eyes. So, you know, when you think about holy, usually you think about, you know, someone in a big religious gown that walks around with incense going around, or an old man that's holy, or Mother Teresa that's holy. I'll never be that. But that isn't what the Bible means by holy. Here's what the Bible means by holy. And by the way, you and I were chosen to be holy. And here's all it means. I'm good enough for God. And I can do things God's way. That's all. What St. Paul is saying is he's saying, I tried to earn and earn and earn and earn and earn, and it never worked ever. And here's what I've discovered. Holiness is something that you receive. It's a label that God gives you. And here's all it means. I'm good enough for God, and I can do things his way. Sometimes when you're trying to follow Jesus, it can seem like you're trying to climb Mount Everest. I've got to stop all these things, and I'm going to start all these things. And that's not how it's supposed to be. He wants to put a label on you. He wants to give you a label. You can feel like and believe you're good enough for God, and you can do things his way. And then the last little part of the sentence is without fault in his eyes, which is good news for me because I know what it's like to be unholy and I know what it's like to have a lot of faults. Now, this letter to the Ephesians was originally written in Greek. In fact, a little bit about the Bible, the last part of the Bible that we call the New Testament was all written in Greek, and so it's all translated. And it's translated into the, that's why our Bibles have contemporary language that we all talk, and it was written in Greek initially. And when Paul wrote this, the idea that he was pulling from was way back in the day when they used to sacrifice animals to God. That's how they did it back then. And when they would sacrifice an animal to God, they would try to find one that was unblemished. Now catch this, because this is something that's important in this idea without fault. An unblemished animal. And when they brought an unblemished animal to God, it was acceptable to God. Now, there's a huge difference between unblemished and perfect. You could look and look and look and look and look, and you'd never find a perfect animal because they don't exist. But you could offer an unblemished animal, the best you got, and that would be acceptable. So here's what St. Paul is trying to say. The best you got to give God, he accepts that. Because he understands you can look and look and look and look and look and you'll never find a perfect person. You can try and try and try. You'll never have a perfect day or a perfect hour. But you can give your best to God and he'll accept that. When you have a relationship with Jesus. And sometimes, you know, it's a choice for me. It's not always easy for me to have a relationship with Jesus. Relationships mean choosing. Over the last 2 weeks, I've watched two movies with my wife, Clarice, like a date night at home. We're going to watch movies. And the last one that we watched, both movies, by the way, there was no explosions, no chase scenes with cars. There wasn't one gun in the entire movie that we had to watch. And I knew ahead of time that I probably wasn't even going to like the movie. Because when I see a movie that has Meryl Streep and Julia Roberts in it, I know I don't even like the movie before I watch the movie. Because I don't like those movies. But that didn't matter to Clarice. What mattered is that I made a choice to watch the movie. And it's the same in your relationship with Jesus. There's lots of times you'll have to choose. Don't make everyone's feelings line up with their actions. Just something in relationships, especially with husbands and boyfriends and things like that. Sometimes the best they've got for you is a choice, and it matters. I didn't want to watch those movies. I couldn't wait until it was my turn to watch a movie and go see Godzilla, a good movie. But we had to watch the bad ones and get them out of the way. And then we're going to go to one of the ones I watch. And that was my choice, and it mattered to my wife. And when I choose, and I have to sometimes with Jesus, okay. All right, Lord, I'll choose to do that. It matters to him. And here's the thing. I can choose him because he chose me first. I've said this, and maybe you have too. I've chose to follow Jesus, but here's the real truth. He chose me before I chose him. Before I started to walk the path towards Jesus, he built a path towards me. So would you be willing to allow God to give you a label? I am chosen. And then here's the last one. I am adopted. Max Lucado writes this in one of his books. He's a great author. You can see him on Amazon or Google him. He's got all kinds of really good books about being a Christian. He said this, God is crazy about you. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If God had a wallet, your picture would be in it. Whenever you would talk, he would listen. And you might go days, years, without even thinking of God, but there would never be a moment when God would not be thinking of you. In this last one, I am adopted. I said about 3 months ago or so that this year we lost our foster mom. When I was 16 and my mom died, a family took me in. And it wasn't official. It wasn't like we signed papers. It was just this kid that I was close to that I'd known ever since junior high school. And they knew I was going through a really rough time, and his family just took me in. Which is how it was. All of a sudden, I lived with him and his family now. And there's Rory, who's my age, and then there's Rhonda, the girl in the middle, and then there's Rod, who's the little brother, and then Rob, and, you know, so all the R's. And we lived in kind of a small house and kind of on the wrong side of the tracks in the town that we lived in. But I had to go through this process where I was grafted into their family. from my family, because they adopted me into their family. And so I remember when Dad died, it was huge for me. You know, it's just like it was like you know. And then but the one who, I mean, they both held it together, but the mom was the one that held this thing together. And she died this last 2-3 months ago. And I went out to the small town that I grew up in, and we all went to the hospital. We all went to the mortuary. We all cleaned out our apartment, which is rough. And then we all took care of everything, and we hung out. And then at the end of it, I came home, because we don't all live in the same place. So I came home. And about 5 weeks later, an envelope comes. It's from my sister, Rhonda. And I open it up, and there's just a little note, something from Mama. And it's a check, and it's for a fourth of the inheritance. And when I initially saw the check, the very first thought I had was, I don't deserve this. We don't have the same name. Our last names are not the same. I don't have the right birth certificate. We don't have the same blood. I mean, you know, the inheritance. I don't deserve some of the inheritance. And God really taught me something about adoption at that point. And here's what he said to me. He said, Robin, it's not your choice. They chose to adopt you. Your choice is if you're going to receive it. That's their choice. And God's made a choice to adopt you. He's made a choice to bring you in. And I'm not talking about some family in the sky or something like that. I'm not. I'm talking about you've been adopted into the inner circle. And it can be awkward. Through all the years that we've been together in that family, it's been very, very different. I'm very different from them. And there's been a lot of a push-pull to make it all work and trying to understand each other. But at the end of the day, they chose to bring me in. But I had to choose to receive it. And so I called my sister Rhonda. I was holding that check in my hand, and I was, you know, there was a struggle there for me. Because I was like, am I going to receive this? Because, you know, am I going to come all the way in and say, okay, this is my family? Sometimes when they would say mom or dad, it would always kind of get stuck in my throat when I would say it. I was like, it's not really my mom. And then they would call me brother. And I always could detect that it was much easier for them to call me brother than it was to call them brother or sister. I sort of saw that. And there was a time when we were going through the specifics of what would happen with mom, how she wanted to be buried and everything. And there was just the four of us with the person at the mortuary, very, very difficult. And there was only three places to sign on the certificate, and there was four of us. And so he was going around the room, and he said to the one person, he says, well, you're the daughter, and, yeah. And then he goes to the next person, you're the son, yeah. And when he came to me, you know, I couldn't get it out to say, well, I'm the son. And all three of them at the same time said, son. It was just amazing to have somebody send that towards you. And when it was all said and done, and we're home, and I get the check, I thought, well, you know, am I gonna be able to do it? They've chosen, and God has said it's their choice. But what am I gonna choose now? And it's my question for you today, and as we go through this series. We can talk about all the bad labels and where they come from and how they happened. And for the most part, we're all probably going to agree, yeah, man, a lot of past stuff has put labels on me. And people, oh boy, they've done it too. And, you know, that's all really true. And I've had lots of problems, and I still carry those labels. And I have perceptions where what I know, it's not this way. But there I am still trying to cut things with a stapler. Yep, that's all true. And okay, it's true. Yes, Jesus should have the right to relabel me and all of that. And we'll all be right there. But you're going to be right where I was that day, because I had all of that stuff too with this family. But I had the check in my hand. And there was this sick part of me that wanted to send it back and just go, no. For some reason, to say, that's too much. Or I could receive it. So I called up Rhonda and I said, hey, what's with the check? You know? And she said, what's with the check? Well, Rory thought this, and I thought this, and Rod thought this. This is why. And this was the amazing thing. She never defended it. In fact, she never even knew what I meant by it. She said, well, Rory felt like he should get a portion of it because these are the things that's going on in his life, and I have these things coming up in my life, and Rod has this stuff coming up. And I, with all my mind, I want to say, I don't think you're listening to me, man. I want to know why you sent me a check. And maybe you're there with God today. God, I don't know if you're listening. I mean, yes, it's all true how I got the labels, but I don't know, really, God? I mean, will you receive it? I am loved. I am chosen. I am adopted. And you know what I was able to say to Rhonda that just sort of sealed it for me? I said, wow, this is really awesome. I'm very grateful. And from that moment, and I wish it would have happened so many years ago because it could have, it has been so easy to say mom, dad, brother, sister, because I'm in now. Because that's the label now. That's the label, my family. And me and the label, we get along now.